In verse 5 of this hymn, 373, it says, "Shine with unclouded ray, chasing each mist away." Chasing each mist away. You know, a mist is not fully a cloud. You know, a cloud. I just flew back from Atlanta day before yesterday. It was very cloudy over New York, and so as we're landing, you know, you're going into the cloud. You know what that's like if you've flown. You're going into the cloud, and you can't see anything. You can't see anything. Then as it gets a little lower, eventually you see, but it's not clear. So the cloud, there's the cloud stage, then there's the mist stage. And I'm afraid that experientially we have gotten used to having a Christian life with mist, that the things are not clear. And we just got used to it. It's the way people who are losing their vision, you know, heading toward blindness, what people have to live with. You don't see quite like you used to. And it's possible to become accustomed to that. You become accustomed, of course, physically you have to. You have to maneuver in this, navigate through daily life. But spiritually, we should never settle for such a situation, and we do. This is what I was referring to in the first session as leaving something on the table. Somehow, through the enemy's so many tactics and schemes, which are tailor-made for each and every one of us, we are brought to a stage, and we think that that's normal. Or we know it's not normal, but we don't care, or we're there. There's another hymn. I know that most of you know this one. It's 789. Is it 789? Sounds wrong. I think it's 789. What is it? What a friend we have in Jesus. It starts higher, right? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Pay attention to the next line. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why?
Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit. You forfeit. Have you ever been on a sports team and the other team didn't show up? So you win by forfeit. And they lose by forfeit. You lose by not showing up. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Either we don't show up at the table with the Lord, or we leave very early. Because we're satisfied with a little encouragement for the day. Or, oh, that's good. And maybe I could share that on the Lord's Day. We got a little something to speak on the Lord's Day. That's not your portion. At least that's not the entirety of your portion. You left too much on the table. How about that grace? How about that specific grace? You know, in the Bible, it talks about multiplied peace, and what's the word for grace? Varied. The varied, V-A-R-Y, vary, you know, many different kinds. The varied, V-A-R-I-E-D, the varied grace of God. You know, we, our portion should be, it talks about double grace. Have you experienced double grace? You're like, Brother Ricky, if I had just some grace, I'd be okay. I'd be like happy. But double? Would you dare ask for double grace? Varied grace. Multiplied grace. Would you ask? The Bible says grace and peace be multiplied. Multiplied to you. Do we ever ask for that? And it says in James, you do not have because you do not ask. And you might say, I didn't know that I could ask. Or you might say, I didn't even know that that was there to ask for. Well, then read the Bible. A little more, or a little carefully. A little more carefully. That's our portion. Paul says, I went through this. I prayed three times, Lord, remove. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Are you passing through something that you feel weak? You can ask, Lord, I want your power to be perfected in my weakness. And I want your sufficient grace for this experience. Sorry to say, from my observation, you know, by the Lord's arrangement, I surely did not choose this pathway. This is the Lord's arrangement that I end up traveling quite a bit. And so I'm here and there visiting different places, even different countries. And my observation, always for the churches, some people outside think, oh, you travel so much. Oh, it's like, oh, don't you enjoy? No. No, not at all. I do not. I like being there and I like going home. Even I go there, this place, that place, the brothers and sisters, you know, they try to take care of you. They do the, you know, oh, you have to stay. Oh, you have to bring your wife and spend longer time. Okay, I don't want to spend longer time. I love you all, but I want to go home. And I'll fellowship with you. I have an extra day. I really don't care about sightseeing in your country. Yeah, I live in New York City. They want to take me to this thing, that building, this. I feel like, if I have an extra day because I can't find the flight, I have to have a meeting tomorrow night, I would rather sleep and catch up on all my emails that are backlogged because I'm here. But travel, no, that's not what it's some of you, I know you're dreaming. Oh, I love to travel. That's fine. Enjoy. But my observation is that I observe we have too many. I don't know how many, but it's too many. Unhappy married sisters. Here and there. Too many unhappy married sisters. Young married sisters. In their late 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s. What a great concern I have for the churches in those places. Something's missing in their Christian experience. Something's missing in their church life. And then what happens is, eventually, something's missing in their marriage. It doesn't start there. It doesn't start there. In most of the cases that I've observed, it started here. Something missing here. You know, in human life is relationships. First in your family, then your society, with your neighbors and your relatives and your schoolmates, then work, and then church life. This is human. These are our friends. I actually don't have any friends besides you guys. Like outside, I mean, I know people here and there. We have acquaintances, but my friends are here.
Right. Amen.
So this is our social life.
Yeah.
Every problem in social life actually begins with a problem in the heart. How do they start usually? Offense, an offense. What is an offense? It's a problem with your heart. Something here was not sensitive toward the other person. Something there wounded now toward you. But it's something here in our heart. These inward parts are at play. Every problem between the spouses is a problem of the heart. It could become something else. It could become something deeper. It could become something irreparable. But it doesn't start that way. It starts here, not taking care of your inward parts. Two people in love end up just on different orbits. It seems like it's the job, it's this, it's not. It's not. Not at the beginning. Maybe eventually. But even if it seems to be the job, actually it was something in your heart. Sometimes, and you know, in society, it's not a job thing. It's another person. That is a problem in your heart. The heart was not exercised in the proper way. At the beginning, it's reparable at the beginning when you know how to turn your heart and know how to get supply from the Lord. Everything, every offense at the beginning, if these are in play, if you know how to exercise your heart and your spirit. And that thing, whatever it is, does not interrupt your fellowship with the Lord, then there's a way. They all start so small. I want to lead you to another verse. If you could read with me in 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. 1 John 3, 19. You know, the book of 1 John, or you could say the subject of the book of 1 John is the fellowship of life, fellowship. And in this session, we really want to focus more on this matter of fellowship. Actually, what we're doing is talking about conscience this morning, first session, fellowship now. Tonight will be about the heart in total, and tomorrow morning is on intuition. That's kind of the structure of what we're covering. But the book of 1 John talks about the fellowship of life, how to maintain that fellowship, and what interrupts, it exposes three major things that interrupt our fellowship with God. In chapter 1, it's sin. In chapter 2, it's the world. In chapter 5, idols, other loves, aims, goals. And of course, generally, in the West, in North America, we don't have the physical idols, but you know, it says in Ezekiel, these people have idols in their hearts. And we could have idols in our hearts. Anything we aim for, that promotion, that job, that prestige, that family, that girl, that guy, those children, they can become idols in your heart. Anything that it is the top enjoyment in our thought life. You know, there's some things you just like thinking about them. That thing is very possible, is rivaling God in your life. And it could be something very legitimate and God-given. God-given. You know, with parents, it's very easy for their children to become the idols. It's very easy because you just love them. You're supposed to love them. And it's natural that you love them. Yes. And some of us entered a new stage. Welcome to the stage. It's grandfather, 1 month old. 1 month, less, right? Less than a month. 3 weeks. Welcome. He's an old veteran already. And may the Lord bless you one day. May bless you. And we have four, and they're just, they're like my life. They're just look at my phone. It's one of them is there. but it's so subtle. Even that can rival the love in your heart for the Lord. Everything needs to be in its place. And if you're not exercised, it's not a problem today. I tell you, you know this example. If you're walking for 100 miles and you're just 1 degree off, where will you end up? 1 degree. Where will you end up? Sin, chapter 1. The world, too broad. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And the vainglory of life. Dear brothers and sisters, so many of you, you are at the cusp of your careers. Oh, you must guard your hearts because your potential is unlimited. Your potential, I know, humanly. I already knew that long time ago. Even when some of you were in high school, I knew. Humanly, I can't match your human potential. I know what I am. I know what I am, and I know what you could be, and what you could do, and what you could, and with that, what you could earn, and where you could live, and how you could enjoy. Be careful. To whom much is given, much is expected. And the Lord has given many of you much, much, much in capacity, human capacity, and smarts. In education, giving you more and that potential and people dream to be what you are or could be. That's wonderful. Be careful. Guard your heart. Because those very things, those God-given things, can then become the frustrations to the fellowship. On the other hand, if you can master exercising your inward parts, you become a blessing wherever you are. And that's what we want. To some extent, that's what we have now. We want to preserve it. We want to preserve that the Lord could have you anywhere and you're just a blessing there. I started to say before, I didn't finish my thought. Paul said, I learned how to be abased and I learned how to abound. And that means that you have to, Philippians 4, he says, I have learned the secret. You have to learn the secret of experiencing Christ when you have nothing and when you have too much. And Paul says both, there's a secret for both. And we've seen many people, they pass the test when they have nothing, but they don't pass the test when they have too much. It's almost like they're too blessed. And that blessing took them farther away from the Lord. It's just like those 10 Samaritan lepers. You know that story in Luke? I think it's Luke 17. In Luke 17, the Lord confronts these lepers, and they do what they're supposed to do from a distance. You're supposed to be unclean. They're at a distance, and they're in a little community because it's so contagious and whatever. But they see the Lord Jesus, and they cry out. They cry out from a distance, Son of David, have mercy, have mercy. And he says, go show yourselves to the priest. And so, it's from a distance. It says that in the Bible. From a distance, they cried out. And that was proper because you're not supposed to, if you get too close, it's so contagious. So they're from a distance. They're crying out. They have a need, so they're crying out. Okay, so, Fabrice, stand up. Suppose he's the leper. He calls, oh, son of David, cry out.
Oh, son of David.
Oh, that's not crying, that's
her. Oh, son of David.
Yes. Yeah, and he wants to get healed. I said, go show yourself to the priest. This is where they started. That's as close as they were. Yeah. And so the 10 of them, they all go, oh, wait, go away, go further. Go away. So they're going to the priest, and all of a sudden, they're... You're whole, you're cleansed. What about me? And one of them. One comes all the way to Jesus' feet. comes all the way. And he's there, just worship. You didn't get down. No.
Oh. Sorry.
No, and he's like, oh, and the Lord Jesus, do you know what he says, right? Were there not, let's read it, read it.
Were not the 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they?
Were not the 10 cleansed? The 9, the other 9, where are they? No one except this Samaritan is here. So, do you see? He got his answered prayer issued in what? He got closer to the Lord. He got to the Lord. 9 of them, their answered prayer. What was the issue? Thanks. Further away. 90%.
Wow.
If I was God, I would feel like I'm not sure I want to answer all the prayers. But God's not like me. God answers the prayers. Even the prayers that will take you further away. How about that? And he leaves it to you. Closer or further? Closer or further? Up to you. You know, when I saw this, the first time I read this, I, you know what I said? I said, Lord, I'm making a deal with you. Do not answer all my prayers. Because I ask foolishly sometimes. And I don't know myself. So I trust myself into your hands. I'm still going to ask, but if I ask foolishly, at least don't answer with anything that will ever take me away from you. You have to learn yourself. You have to know yourself. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vain glory of life. Being someone. There's just something to that. There's just something to that, to be recognized. There's something that feeds our insides. And I know, my father was the same. Oh, this is my son. This is my son. Yeah, he graduated from what? Yeah. And I tell him, Dad, I'm going to quit my job and serve God full time. He was like, what? So I took away my vainglory and his vainglory at the same time. He used to be so proud. But that's there. It just feels. Be careful. Here it says, and in this we will know that we are of the truth, and we will persuade our heart before him. Because if our heart blames us, it is because God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not blame us, we have boldness toward God. And whenever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. These verses talk about our heart persuading. Not our heart persuading. We will persuade our heart before the Lord. Or our heart blames us. You know, to persuade, and this is what I want you to read. There's a footnote, if you have the Recovery Version, There's a footnote to this word persuade. What is this Greek word persuade? It means to conciliate, to convince, to assure, and to tranquilize. Tranquilize. To persuade our heart before God is to have a good conscience void of offense, that our heart may be conciliated, convinced, assured, and tranquilized. This too is a condition of the life that abides in the Lord. To abide in the Lord, this is the phrase I really want to highlight to you. To abide in the Lord requires a tranquil heart with a conscience void of offense. Wow. This is also vital to our fellowship with God. So I like to ask, do you have a tranquil heart void of offense? Sisters, is your heart tranquil? Are you at peace? Are you at peace? There is such a condition that you can have where inside you're just tranquil. You're just at peace. You are right with the Lord. And yes, the environment is not perfect. The Lord hasn't answered all the prayers. Things are a little messy, actually. And the kids are, and the house is not the one I want. That's not my dream. But if your heart is tranquil, oh, you can go on another day. And that requires, is not the whole thing, but it requires a conscience void of offense. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. So you may pass that test, conscience void of offense. There's no offense. You've confessed all your sins. But it's still possible your heart is not tranquil. Why? Well, that's because there are other desires. There are other loves. There are other things. There are disappointments that have not been dealt with. There are offenses that have not been forgiven. There may be things inside that are still clogging the flow. You know, like a sink. You know, the sink when you open the faucet and the water goes down, and sometimes there's a clog. Sometimes there's a clog and it just stops. There nothing goes through. But very often it goes down slow. And I feel that there are so many dear saints in that kind of a situation. I think in this last training, many people were touched when one of the brothers gave this kind of example. He said, the saints in the Lord's recovery are experiencing a low-grade depression. It was like a low-grade fever, you know, little low-grade fever. So you're not at 103, 101, but you're right there about 99. 99 point something. It's a low-grade fever. And we're at a low-grade depression. Low-grade depression. It's like, there's flow, kind of. But it's not flow. It's not free. Inwardly, I'm not yet free. But you can be by having fellowship with the Lord. The Lord can come in to minister to your need. To minister to your need. You know, for the high schoolers, we mentioned this little seven-step kind of guideline program for fellowshipping with the Lord. And actually, it just includes these seven kind of elements or practices. Calling, we talk about praying, pray reading the Word, and then confessing, what else? consecrating. That is giving, just offering yourself to the Lord, and then giving thanks. And then the last one is a kind of is prayer, but the prayer of praying for something specific, which we call petition. And to differentiate these two, this prayer is not asking for anything like for your day, or that when you get to work there'll be a parking spot, or my test today, or someone being saved. That's all here. Yeah, that's all here. This is, Lord, I need you today. I want you. I love you. I have to have more of you. Right. Yeah. And so these are more vital. And that's if you have time. So these points, sometimes we recommend you could practice this even in 7 minutes. Not 1 minute per step, not like that. We really increase this prayer reading time. But in different parts of books in the ministry, especially by Brother Lee, Brother Witness Lee, there's one book called Lessons for New Believers, and in there, chapters 21, 2, and 3, you bring out these 7 points there. And learning how to practice a fellowship with the Lord that involves all these things. This is not a 7-step, like, check, 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 done, done, done. This is not like that. But if you consider, when you spend time with the Lord, you're probably doing one of these 7 things. Plus one more that's not on the list. And actually, that is a support to all these, and that is singing. So I don't take that as a separate step. But our singing could very, like I've demonstrated before, very easily lead us to calling, lead us into prayer, surely lead us into confessing, lead us into consecrating, lead us into giving thanks. The singing is like a springboard into all of these practices. But the point is not any one of these practices. The point is fellowship in our spirit with a person. And that's the point. Have you gotten through to the person? Or have you gotten stuck in a practice? And that's not to diminish at all any practice. But I feel that too many saints are stuck with just a practice. And therefore, the fellowship with the Lord, too superficial. And so, the bottom line of our fellowship with the Lord is not enough supply. And so we try to live a church life, a family life, a parental life in some cases, facing the world, work, school, some are work and school. We face life with very little of the Lord actually in our life. And then we have the church life, and then you come and we put demand after demand, serve here, serve there, and can you come here, and can you do that, and we're, because we love the Lord and we love the church, amen, 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 and eventually dry. Have you not passed through that yet? We probably need adequate time for testimonies in this session.
Yeah.
How do you overcome that? How do you avoid that? Altogether avoid, because that's not our portion. That's not meant to be your portion. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Needless pain. Have you been through a situation? It's painful in the church life. And then in the meeting, you have a meeting mask. Amen. Hi, amen. People say hello, we say amen. I don't, you know, it doesn't mean anything. Amen. Amen is not a greeting, actually. Hi. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. But inside, we're painful. Eventually, you don't go that long. You just don't want to go. How do you avoid that? I would propose to you, it has to do with the exercise of our heart and our spirit in a daily way. And maybe we need a special time to kind of unclog. We hope later in the day to give you a time. Of course, we have free time in the afternoon. Oh, that you could take advantage of this location. Just go for a walk or find a tree or somewhere or even a corner there. Put a do not disturb sign. Get your coffee, get your Bible. No greater place to be than right here with the Lord. So that you could give the Lord a chance. You know, our personal fellowship with the Lord, there are at least three benefits to learning, to, I would say, mastering this kind of personal fellowship with the Lord. The first is personal, specific enlightenment. Enlightenment, light. So that we can confess our sins. If you don't have this kind of fellowship with the Lord, then you will be confessing the same sin year after year after year. There are some things maybe you've been dealing with for 5 years already. You will never overcome if you don't have more fellowship with the Lord. Of course, every time you sin, no matter what it is, you sin, confess, and the blood works. No matter what it is, sin, if you sin, confess, the blood works. But, how can you get the life to grow so that you outgrow that sinning desire? There's potential for that. You can outgrow that. But not until you have some dealing with the Lord to allow Him to shine in you to see what is the root of that desire. Why do you still gravitate to that? There's something deeper in you. And some, I would say, the married saints, if there's ever some discord in your family life, sorry, we've been, you know, part of what we do in shepherding, if you're shepherding people, you're going to shepherd couples that have problems. And so that's part of our job description. Sorry to say. And I've come to see. He thinks she's the problem. And she thinks he's the problem. And they're just both problems. They themselves are the problem. But nobody can see. And sisters, be at peace. Sometimes we realize he's the problem. You know what, brothers? More often than not, you are the problem. Yeah. Brothers, the males among us, we have to admit. But actually, more often than not, we're the problem. Amen. Yes, amen. I didn't get any amen from over here. No amen from over here. Because they don't see. They just don't see it yet. Thomas, I hope you see it, brother. You see it. She's saying amen. But in the light of the Lord, when you're with Him, when you're not expecting, when you're just enjoying Him, He will shine on you to show you something in your heart that you just didn't realize it was there. And you will see when you won't have anything to say. We were fellowshipping with someone. This was some time ago. Then brother, they came to us. And we wanted to talk to the brother, to tell him, brother. And he said, brothers, before you start, can I say something? You all remember this? He said, brothers, I realize all along I've been the problem. And I need help. not just with my wife. I need help contacting everyone. He got light from the Lord. That only could come from the Lord. Because I told him that, and it didn't mean anything. He told him that, it didn't mean anything. He told him that, it didn't mean anything. He told him, we all took turns, some twice. It didn't mean anything. When the Lord told him, he says, not just my wife, my children, my coworkers, my he realized, I'm wrong with everybody. That's the light of the Lord. Then he said, brothers, I feel like I'm on my honeymoon again. Didn't he say that?
Yep.
It's like they're like, it's kind of disgusting. It's they love each other. It's just like, oh, come on. That's too gooey and all that stuff. But it's wonderful. Where did that come from? Personal enlightenment, not man's word. Not man's word. The Lord shined. It was beautiful. It's beautiful. If I tell you, you get offended. Then it's worse. The Lord shines, you say. The second major advantage, benefit, personal comfort. The Lord can comfort you and give you a word that nobody else can give you. And sometimes it's one word from one verse. And you realize the Lord understands. The Lord is with you. The Lord is upholding you. One word, one verse. And it's not a verse that kind of matches your situation, but that verse, there's something there. I know it. There were actually a number of times this one verse came to me and became such a supply. That's Psalm 46. Psalm 46 to me, there's a few verses. It says, there is a river, the streams whereof gladden the city of God. There is a river. That just became a supply. There is a river. There is a river. The mountains shall move, the earth shall move. She shall not be moved because God is in the midst of her. Oh, oh. Then it says something like, his strength comes to her in the dawn of the morning. And I'm here in the morning, and he came to me, and the things all around me are, it's like, you know, they're like the earth is shaking. But I'm just at peace because there's a river. It was a supply. It was the word I needed at that time to get me through that situation. No fellowship with any brother, as mature as he could be, would ever comfort me like that. That's what you leave on the table when you just have a quick little McDonald's morning revival. That's not special. For any, just for certain people, certain of the big brothers. I used to think that. That's all of our lot. That's our portion. That's what God wants to be to all of us. And then the third, and maybe I'll end with this, so we'll give more time for some testimonies, is that we learn in personal fellowship like this, how to follow the anointing. How to follow the anointing. The Lord's leading. You know, in life, there are choices. There will be choices. There are big choices. Of course, many of you have already faced some of them. Marriage is one. Work is one. Where you will work. That locks you up for a while. Where you should move to. That's a big decision. That's not just, oh, yeah, never mind. Next day, change. No, Some people treat marriage like that. Oh, never mind. No, it's not what the word says. Having children, moving to a certain place, either for your job or for the Lord's move, those are big choices. How do you know you have the Lord's leading? You learn here when you're having fellowship. Because if you're singing, suppose you're singing, oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our, what is it? Sins and griefs to bear. Lord, Lord, you get a feeling. That word grief. That word grief. Maybe you're grieving over something, over someone. You bear my griefs. You bear my griefs. He's the man, Lord, you're the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. You know. So then I start praying in that direction. I stop singing and start praying. Why? Because that's, I'm learning the anointing. He's leading me out of my little program. Some of us have built up a program of time with the Lord. We only do it that way. That's why it's boring. That's why you're bored as a Christian. You could have something new, actually, every day. Why not? Why not the Lord leading you with a new little journey each morning? That's on the table for you. But we forfeit because, oh, got 10 minutes. So anyway, later we could talk about, oh, even the place is important. Because sometimes the Lord touches you and you have to get on your knees. Sometimes the Lord touches you and you have to cry, you have to weep. Or sometimes you have to shout, you have to laugh. And it's hard to do that on the subway. So sometimes the place is important. We limit the Lord by where we are. So it's good to have a place. But again, I'm not trying to diminish what you do. I'm trying to add the quality to our fellowship with the Lord. Anyway, I think those words might be enough. That's not an exhaustive list. I don't mean those are the only three benefits of personal fellowship with the Lord, but those are three major benefits of learning. One day, the Lord will require something that will touch his economy related to the anointing. He may want you. For example, today. Today's date is 14th. Tomorrow's the 15th. We just began last Lord's Day, Hall 9 in New York City, Hall 9 of the Church in New York in Staten Island. We need families to move to Staten Island, to move there, not just go meet there, that live in Queens and drive there. We need saints in the church life in Staten Island. But we don't tell people what to do. We ask people to pray. Maybe the Lord will move in some couple. Go there. Then they have to know the anointing. This deals with God's economy. This is not just which song, which verse. Should I buy the blue one or the green one? You know, we use the anointing for things, right? And we think, oh, if I buy according to the anointing, it will never break down. Because it's by the anointing. Buy a good car, buy a good blender, whatever, coffee maker. Lord, which one? Which one? This one's on sale, but that's better quality. Amen. Oh, Lord. Yeah, that doesn't have anything to do with God's economy. Moving to Staten Island does. Moving to Stony Brook does. Moving to White Plains does for the church life. All of those. Moving to Germany does. Moving to Brazil does. Those. There will be a time. How will you know? Every day follow the anointing in your time with him. That's a little training. How about we have a few prayers? Just a sentence at a time. A few prayers together, and then you have 10 minutes for a few testimonies. Amen. Anyone, feel free to pray.